Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower. It's so funny because my mind is going in a million ways. Because I wanted to say the book that we're studying, I was going to say Deuteronomy. I'm like, no, Lord, Deuteronomy, don't go with Empower to Change. Anyway, but praise God, you can tell that I am full and excited to get into the lesson. But before we do that, I have to introduce myself again. I'm Dr. Happy. For those of you that know me, and some know me as Leah, some know me, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. But I'm very excited that you tuned in on this last Monday of 2021. I'm very, very excited that this year is ending because I'm still here, praise God, and being able to be blessed prayerfully to see the new year come in. And so I'm excited that you decided to spend this hour with me, praise God, for the last Monday of the blog program for the year. And so those of you that are brand new, welcome, welcome, welcome. Our goal is to educate, to encourage, and to empower. And so we do that by making sure that we are inspired by God to give us a topic to talk about. It may not be a brand new topic, but it's one that will keep you encouraged or should encourage you. And then give you some information, some nuggets, maybe not brand new nuggets, but one for you to study and learn a little bit more about. And then, praise God, to leave with a empowerment to change and then create change, and not just for yourself, but to share with others so that others can be empowered as well. For those of you that have been with me, can you believe we're going into our ninth year? Amen. I'm so grateful and excited that God has blessed us to be able to stay in this vein and that you've been here with me. And whether you've been here for 2 weeks, for 2 months, for 2 years, or the full entire eight and some change weeks that we have been doing this every week to show God that we are grateful, that we love wisdom and knowledge, and that we want to make sure that we're doing what is necessary for us to be accountable to not only God, but accountable to ourselves, and then making sure that we're fulfilling our commitments. And we've been doing that if we've been following the lessons that God has been given, and I'm grateful that each of you let me know that this is blessing you and how it's helped. And so I appreciate you wholeheartedly. And that's why I always acknowledge you at every broadcast, for every broadcast. And then I can't escape the blessings of the Omega Ministry Group as a whole, and mainly Jesse and Tammy Store. They are constantly sharing love to me and constantly pouring out their wisdom and instruction by doing what they've been called to do, and that is to be obedient to God. Because when you are, amen, blessings just overflow, and they don't always have to be things. It's just knowing that you have people that genuinely love you and support you. And to me, that's way more than material things, because those things last. And so don't last, amen. But the love and the peace and the joy that comes from having relationships with people that you admire and adore, that's priceless. And so I just thank all of you for tuning in again on this last Monday. But the best praise we have to give, that is to God. And so we always want to make sure that we start with an upbeat song to get us in the mood for learning and in the mood to hear an inspiring word. And then, praise God, I acknowledge all of you for tuning in, and then we go to prayer with God before we go into the lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father, that you don't need help, that you don't need our opinions. You don't need anything from us. We need everything from you. And we thank you, Father, for loving us enough to give us what we need when we need it. We may not always want to hear what you give, but we are thankful, at least I am, Lord, that you speak, and you speak clearly when we are open and ready to hear. So, Father, let all of our hearts and minds be ready to receive what you have for us tonight so that we can make the necessary changes, so that we can be better people, not just because it's about to be a new year, but just because it's time for us to make the necessary changes to be empowered to be more like you. So, Father, we ask that you bless every listener, whether they're listening today, tomorrow, next week, or 2 years from now, that it will be the same inspired word, that you will remove me and allow your presence to come forth so that we all can manifest the revelation that you're giving all of us on tonight. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and we will never, ever forget, and help us not to forget, that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain. And thank you, Father, for allowing it to remain, because without you, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything. And so we just thank you for your love and your honor. And we thank you, Father, for all of it done through Jesus. And there's something that I didn't do, Lord, that I always do, and I apologize for even about to close the prayer without doing it. Thanking you for our resources, for the word that gives us directions, for the Holy Spirit that keeps us guided in the right place, in the right posture, and of course the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for all of us. And so, Father, again, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and prevent any distractions. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God, praise God. For those of you that know me, know that I'm a night person. And so since we've had on this break and then, you know, healing and me going through all the changes that I went through over the year, my sleep pattern is really, really, really jacked up. And so now that I'm trying to do some things, I keep forgetting that everybody's not on my clock. So I'm racing to get everything done, and I'm realizing that I probably should start before 4 o'clock in the afternoon to start myself. So I've been running, praise God. And so I had to get my stuff together because I'm in this book club. And it's the coolest thing because it's helping me focus and get it done. And so in the midst of that, I got papers everywhere, and so trying to make sure that I keep my thoughts on what God has called me to do. And I'm so excited about the topic because, praise God, I was kind of clueless. I know what I wanted to talk about, but God kind of switched it up in the ninth hour. So it's like, okay, Lord, so you got to do what you got to do. And so, praise God, I believe that he's going to do a mighty thing because, praise God, I have not really ever ministered from the book of Deuteronomy that much. And so I like the New Testament scriptures too, but now I do love the old because it gives you the foundation for the New Testament and the new transforming of teaching. But you have to sometimes go back because I love the history part of the Old Testament because it gives you examples of what you need because the saying nothing is new under the sun, it's literally true. All of the people's problems and challenges that they had are still very similar. Yes, we have modern technology and we have all these things that they didn't possess at that time, but just as if we move a couple of years into our future, they will have new gadgets and new things that will be prehistoric to us or to them because you know, almost like my daughter, she was like, "What is a record?" Praise God. And I'm like, "You know what a record is?" And she's like, "No, because they've never had records. You know, they do everything by computer." And so, you know, she downloads her music from the cloud. And, you know, who knew? I was excited when I could spend 45 cents to get a disc little record and put that little coin thing in the middle. And then make sure that it stayed inside the record so that when I put it on the little dial and that it wouldn't come out and how frustrated that would be. But then it was still kind of cool because then you could put it back in the middle and it made it lay straight. And then I had gotten to a point where I had perfected because many times you used to lose those little discs that you had to put in. I guess I'm claiming how old I am. But, amen, you remember those little discs, and sometimes you lose them, so you had to learn how to line it up just right on the turntable so that when you put the needle down, and the needle had to be right because if it had a lot of dust on it because you played the record too much and you laid the dust, you had to make sure that the needle was clean so that it would play. But, nevertheless, sometimes going back and thinking back, it's rewarding and it's exciting because there's memories and things that you don't normally think about often unless you go back. And so sometimes it is necessary for us to talk and memories. And so I'm hoping that many of you had opportunities to have those kind of conversations over last week when we all took a break to celebrate life. And we're hoping that everybody celebrated the life of Christ and how important it was for Jesus to come and how important it was that his gift and the coming of his gift gave us the gift, a perfect gift, to do the things that are necessary so that we can be about our Father's business. And then in the midst of that, we can share love and kindness with each other. And so I'm hoping that many of you had many memories, many good memories, and you talked about things that gave you insight on how to move forward in this next year. Now, I'm not one that believes in resolutions. I used to, but I didn't always succeed. And so I thought, what is the point of it? If you need to make a change, it doesn't matter if it's January 1st or October 1st. You make the necessary change. And so I've always been, because I had that revelation, not focusing on waiting to the new year to start something because, praise God, you may not make it to the first of the year. So you do the things that God lays on your heart at that moment. And so when we do that, then we make the necessary change when they need to be changed. You know, even many of us that are on that roller coaster, I need to lose weight. I'm going to wait till Monday. I'm going to wait till the end of the month. I'm going to wait till the end of the week. I'm going to start tomorrow. All that putting things off they all still have consequences. And so we have to be reminded when we want to make change, when we know we need to make change, we need to make it as soon as possible. And there are many times that we can make necessary changes and they don't have to necessarily be a big production. It's just the mind, renewing the mind and making the decision. And so that's what birthed the topic, if I had to give this broadcast a topic, is it's up to you. It's up to you to make the necessary changes when you want to make them, because, praise God, you can have all the finest technology. You can have all the instruments and exercise equipment and all the other things that help you meet a goal. But just because it turns January 1st don't mean you're going to start them. And then if you do start on January 1, doesn't mean that by January 5, you'll still be doing them. You have to renew your mind first. And so the key to any change is that you have to have the mind made up for yourself. And so that's why it's up to you to make the necessary changes. Don't always set yourself on sight on date, because, praise God, if you don't change the mindset, it doesn't matter what date comes and goes. The change won't come, won't manifest. Change is a change until you have changed. And so you got to make that change from the inside. So back to the lesson. So God gave me Deuteronomy because I was looking up free will. What does that mean? We have choices. It's up to me. I can make whichever choice I want. And so free will came to mind. And so those of you that know me like that, I like to define words first. And so in defining free will, it basically, by the definition of Merriam-Webster, it's a power of acting without the constant of the constraint, I'm sorry, of necessary or fate, the ability to act at one's own discretion. Now, I thought that the key words in this particular definition was ability to act at one's own discretion. So you definitely get the opportunity to choose. I'm going to lose weight now. I'm waiting to do it later, or I'm not going to do it at all. We have free will to make that choice. And so I like the way another definition said it. It says free will is the capacity of agents to choose between different possibility courses of actions that are impeded. So that means it doesn't necessarily have a time frame. And then free will is closely linked to the concept of moral responsibilities, praise, guilt, sin, and other judgments, which apply only to actions that are freely chosen. And so a lot of that gave me pause, because I thought, oh, Lord, I could go so many places here because of just the keywords, praise, guilt, sin, and other judgments. So basically, when we're talking about free will, it reminds me that we can either do what God says, or we can do what we say, or we can do what the enemy says. And so many times I think we forget that there are three voices that are normally, well, kind of four if you really think about it, but it's God's voice, it's the enemy voice, it's your voice, and then the voice of others, if you want to put that in the equation. But many times we are compelled to move based on people pleasing. And so, praise God, I'm hoping that we can talk about that next week, because that's a lesson within itself. But it does have a major impact on when we make decisions for ourselves. And so I have had to learn, and it has taken me 50 years to finally get it, that the decisions we make have to be our own decisions. And when we make decisions based on other people, when we make decisions based on the enemy, when we make decisions based on our faulty information, we will definitely make mistakes, because the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding, to acknowledge him in all of our ways. But many times we don't always do that. We do that when it's convenient for us. But the coolest thing about that is we have free will to do that. And so why do we have the free will to do that? Well, it's because God made it that way. And so the sad part, though, if there is a difference between will and free will, not much, but the will is a collection of our preferences, our needs and desires, things that we want to happen. So I may want the will to say that in a couple of weeks I want to be rich. But now, I want it to come because I want to scratch off a lottery ticket, and I'm going to have the winning ticket. Now, that could be a will of mine, and then the free will makes it I have the ability to try to make that happen, so I could sneak in the store after hours and scratch all the tickets off and find the one that's winning and then say, amen, I have the winning ticket. So now that's not necessarily free because of the cost with that, because I've broken into the store to make my will come to play. So there are parameters that we have to put in place when we talk about will and free will. And another word they came up with that was choice. Now, choice is different because when you think about free will and choice, you can have the free will to make a decision, but might not necessarily follow that decision because you got to make a choice. I have the free will to smoke a cigarette, but it's not my choice to smoke, but I have one. I can either pick it up or I don't. But the free will is that if the pack of cigarettes is sitting in front of me, then I can pick them up because, praise God, that's my free, it's a free will, it's there. But the choice is whether I'm going to smoke them or not. And so the thing when most people, especially those that are in scholarly quarters, try to debate on whether free will is the ability to do anything you want, but the choice is what the options that we make. Well, for me and those of us that are scholarly or biblically scholarly tend to believe that we want to do what God says. Because, again, if we're living a life that's pleasing to God and we want to be a soldier of God, then we have to follow the platform or the design that God has laid out for us. And so I like that this statement that I studied said God did not need the world or need people because He can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. He has no lack. But when he created us, he gave us free will so that we could freely choose to love him, to be obedient to him, to abide to him, whatever the opportunity that we have, he gave us free will to do that. And so when we acknowledge that God gave us free will, we have to make that decision. We have to make a choice. So they're not the same. They're different. We have the opportunity. It's free to us, but we have to choose whether or not we're going to believe or be obedient, or we're going to not believe and do what we want to do. And so it is a gift that Jesus came to give us life, for us to have that choice, and then to have, because we all had the will to do whatever we wanted to do, and we still have that free will. So, but I like that Jesus came so that we could have the choice to live eternally, praise God, because and we didn't have that free will. We had to wait for Jesus to come to make sure that we had that gift that he came, and that's why it's significant for us to celebrate him, not just Christmas, but to celebrate him, his birth, always. And so it was interesting. Somebody said to me, well, we celebrate Christmas because we're celebrating Jesus' birth. And I thought, well, kind of maybe, but no, we should celebrate Jesus' birth whenever, because he had to come in order to live, to die, and to resurrect. It had to happen in that order. So the, him coming is the special gift. It's the gift because him coming gave us life eternally, not him crafting wood tools with his daddy. Like some stories that I've read, it's just amazing. But they have free will to write whatever they want. That different authors and different people write books and write quotes and do different things. But I believe a lot of times they're writing based on another voice, not necessarily themselves, because you just don't think that up by yourself. Somebody planted a seed or it came from somewhere, and then you write, just like I'm writing my book, that I'm passionate about because it's a topic that I believe God really wants me to deal with. Praise God, I'm not excited about all of that comes in with spiritual warfare, but I'm grateful that he gave me an assignment, and so I'm going to study and do all I need to do to make sure that I not only operate in free will, but I'm being what he called me to do so that I can have the blessings that come with being obedient and accepting the choice of doing what God called me to do. But it's a free will. I could choose not to. And so so back to the Christmas. So we have to remember that Christmas is not just for the birth of Jesus. It's for life. That was a gift to us. And that's why people give gifts. But if I could just do a little commercial before I go back to the lesson. But I was laughing because I was having a conversation, and they were talking about, you know, where did the gifts come from? And so it was, you know, the gifts started from, a quote unquote, our Bible teaching, those of us that actually read, that the wise men brought gifts to the birth of Jesus because they understood the meaning behind it. Plus, you just don't go to people's houses without nothing anyway. But they brought gifts, and so that's where the quote unquote idea of us exchanging gifts. So the thing that I find most hilarious in the whole gift-giving process is how can you give a gift at Christmas time and excite it and wrap it up and go through all the methods of even going broke even to do all these gift exchange, and then you're nasty the 26th. I don't get that. What was the purpose of doing it? So have we fallen into this mantra of just doing what the world system does just to keep up with the world system? And so if we do, where does free will come into that? Are we choosing to follow the system and not God? Are we choosing to just, what? You have to ask yourself that question. Are you more motivated to be in sync with the world? Are you more motivated doing the things that God called you to do and brought you to the earth to do? That's where the choice comes in. And so God gives you the opportunity. You can either follow his instructions or not. And so even though they may be good things, they're not necessarily God things. And so we have to be mindful. And that's why it's so important for us to have a relationship with him, for us to study our Bibles and for us to know for ourselves. Because, amen, you could have been told this is just what you do. And so most of us do what we've been trained to do. So last week when we were looking for the verdict for that lady that thought she chose to go to the left side or to the right side to get her gun or get her tape, she had a choice. And then she had a free will because she carried both of them. But she made the choice to not pay attention or whatever caused her to be distracted and got the wrong thing. And so she had to deal with the consequences that came from that. That's what all of us. And so when we harp on one other, we have to remember there are many times that we're given that same type of choice. And if we're distracted or not paying attention, we may make the same mistakes. Do we want the same curse to come on us that we're wishing for other people? So we have to be mindful. I am so moved again by listening to people because we're saying things that we don't realize what we're saying because we're caught up in the generation. We're caught up in the outside world that's telling us this is what you're supposed to do, and then we follow suit without questioning. Lord, is this what you'd have for us to do? Is this, you said that you gave us life, the choice of life and death, and you said, I'd rather you choose life. That God said that. I'd rather you choose life, but it's your choice because you have free will. And that's what takes us to Deuteronomy. Are we going to really accept everything that this world system offers us? And in the times that we're living in, when we know that we are close to the end times, it was so funny. I was listening to a comedian, and he said, I grew up my whole life believing, because my grandma made me believe, that in the last days, Jesus could come at any moment. And he said, I used to ask my grandma before I went to the store, is he coming? Will he come before I come back? Because if he's going to come before I come back, then I need to give you a hug, give you a kiss, because I may not see you because he may come. And so the comical thing in that is that many of us, I know I did, was growing up, I believed that too. I didn't think that I'd finish high school. And then he didn't come, and then I thought, okay, well, am I going to make it through college? Is he going to come? And so the interesting thing with Jesus coming is that whenever you close your eyes for the last time, that's your opportunity to meet him. And so we're all looking for the sky to break, which, amen, is going to happen. But any time that you close your eyes for the last, that's your judgment. Because now, praise God, you don't get another chance to make it right. So you got to make sure you make the right choices. And that's why he said, I prefer you to choose life over death. But amen. Here, I present everything to you. You make the decisions. Now, Deuteronomy is recorded by Moses. At least that's what the scholars are saying. And then the book pretty much deals with blessings and curses that will fall on us based on the laws and the lifestyle pretty much that was set before us at that time. Now, in today's time, we move forward because, praise God, we have the gift of Jesus, and because Jesus came and he trained these wonderful disciples, and they had different people that were wise enough to pin all the accounts down so that we have this reference tool that we call the Bible. Why I always try in my prayers to thank God for the word, because it does give us the roadmap of what we need to do, so that when he says, I'd rather you choose life, we know how to make that choice. And that choice is made because we look to him for all of our decision making. But for those of you that make your own decisions when you decide what you want to make them, I want you to know that you have that only because of free will that God gave. But you got to make the right choices. And so when we don't obey the things of God and keep his commandments, then things will happen. Now, I suggest that you all read chapter 30 of Deuteronomy and read it in its entirety. I mean, there's quite a few chapters that you can read even leading up to this particular passage and after that we'll focus on. But I want to pull out a couple scriptures, but I want to mainly focus on 19 and 20. But I want to start at the top. I like that it says that when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to your heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you amongst the nations. So pretty much wherever you go, keep this in your heart wherever you go. And when you and your children return to the Lord and return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I have commanded you today, then the Lord will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. So now, those of you that remember the Tower of Babylon, when the people kind of got together and they did this major thing of building a tower, and God had to, they united. Praise God. And so he kind of sent people in a different way with the different languages. But he's saying that in this particular thing, that I want you to still keep the laws in your heart, because you still can't sin against them. But if you do this, then you will preserve your family and your lineage. And that's another thing that one of the coolest things I say, when I finally gave my life to Christ for the last time, because I really understood what I was doing, I understood that my assignment was generational. And so it wasn't necessarily to plant seeds for to see the immediate change, but to change so that there'd be a generational change. So if I trained my children to love God when they were in their youth, that they would too do the same thing for their children, and their children would do for their children. And so it perpetuates the cycle when you understand the curse and you can break the curse and start something that God has called you to do. And so that just happened to be one example that I used. But more importantly, how when I was teaching my classes at the church that I attended, many times there'd be 30 or 40 people in the classes. And I'm like, Lord, how can I make an impact on all of these people? And he's like, well, if they took the class because they believe that they were supposed to, then you have what you need to share with them to make sure that they have that revelation. And so that's what I always pray before I taught or before I teach anything, even when I share with you. I always ask God, you know, for me not to teach information, but to teach revelation, because information is great, but revelation is so much better. And so when I understood that God was a generational God, then I understood. That's why he says to train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he won't depart. So that all these things, because God knows, we want to go to Vegas. We want to go to Sin City. We want to do, you know, the things that are, praise God, clean fun. We want to, you know, be drunk and hungover. I mean, we want to do things that this life offers at times. And so he knows that our flesh is weak. Our spirit, most of us, our spirit is usually willing, but sometimes, and he's allotted for that, and that's why forgiveness, amen. That's why Jesus is the gift, and you can't miss that. That Jesus, we have access, we have free will to accept him when we need to, praise God, but we still got to make the right choices. But even in that, there is still a, what do they call that? A secret weapon that God gave us, forgiveness, and we can be forgiven more than one time. So if I slip in Vegas this time, I don't want to slip next year when I go, but if I do, praise God, there's still forgiveness. And so we have to be reminded of that. But there is a but, because we still have to deal with the consequences. Now, sometimes the consequences may be great, and sometimes they may not, but nevertheless, we can pray that it doesn't affect the generations of our children, because some some things we do bring hardship on our children's children's children. And if we're not careful and we don't seek the things of God and pray, those generational curses you've heard, those are very, 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 very real. And so if you even understand that you're under a generational curse done by your great-great-great-great-grandfather, that stuff comes up. God's word is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter if it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And that's why those of us that study the word, that's why studying the word is so important. The word tells you how you can break those curses in your family line so that they don't affect you. But you got to know, and you can't go based on because I said it or because Pastor so-and-so said it. You have to read it and understand it for yourself for it to become a manifestation in your life, because you have to choose to accept it. God has freely put it out there, and that's why he put it in his book for you to know and learn so that you can do what you need to do. Here, drop down to verse 6. It says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Thanks. I mean, I kind of want to go a little further with that too, because it is, where are we? And, oh, I lost my page, but God, I'll give it back to me. How there are so many different scriptures in the New Testament that talks about love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. I know it's in Matthew. I know it's in Mark. I think it's in John. There's several places. And so it's significant that we attend to that. Why does God keep saying that? Because it's true. But you have to make a choice to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and everything that you have, you yield to him. Because then, praise God, the mysteries of God, you talk about the mysteries, you've heard many scriptures say that the mysteries of God is that he reveals things to you when you're ready. And so I love my nephew, praise God, he told me, and he was on the show one time, and he said this, he said, when you're ready to be a student, the teacher will always come. And so that's what the revelation is when you're ready, God will send the right person to help you with the understanding so that you can live the ways that he has called you to live. Now, verse 7 says, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemy who hate you and persecute you. So again, obey the Lord and follow his commandments I am giving you today. And then he will make your most prosperous and all your works of your hands and the fruit of your womb and the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. Again, generational. God is a generational God. Not only does he bless just your, I mean, can you imagine what a blessed dog and cat would be in this time? Amen. Do what God is, and he can't help but overly bless your whole household. And so if he says here, because, you know, I don't know if they had pet cats and dogs like we do today, but he said that he would bless their livestock. And so because they hadn't changed, he'll bless that. And those of you, not necessarily do we all own land and have crops, but praise God, whatever we're working, those are our crops. That is our landfill. Wherever you're working, what you put your hands, that you use your hands, even if you're using your brain, praise God, all these technical jobs. But God will bless that because you are obedient to him. And verse 10 says, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and decrees that they are written in this book of law and turn to the Lord your God with all your, again, all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. I don't know how to stress it, that God wants your heart and he wants your soul. And what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So they have to line up. Me and my daughter had a little debate the other day. Mind you, she's 13, but she thinks she's 30. But nevertheless, it was that I can't control my emotions. I'm like, yes, ma'am, you can. And she said, no, I can't. I said, so now we don't believe the Bible? I said, let's go to the scripture. Let me show you where it says. Don't you confess that every day? So I just went straight to her confession. You can do all things through Christ, right? And I said, so why would you be quoting things that God said he could do for you and then turn around and say what you can't do? That is unacceptable. So that means what voice are you listening to? Remember, you got God's voice, you have the enemy's voice, you have your own voice, and then you have that thundering sound of other people. You got to make a choice of which one you're going to listen to. And God is telling us to obey him. And so when we talk, I get down to the scripture 11 and down a little way, it talks about the offer of life and death. And so verse 11 says, now I am commanding you today, it is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. So when people say, I can't do it, yes, you can. If God says you can, you can. We got to get out of that mindset. And that's why I believe that scripture in the New Testament, I can do all things through Christ. Don't forget the through Christ part, because a lot of us think we could do all things, and we can't do all things in our own mind. Amen. I would love to run a marathon. And until God says I can do that, then I'm just going to say I would like to run a marathon. Amen. But when he tells me that I'm ready, then praise God, I can say I can do it through all things because God has laid on my heart. I can do that. So we got to remember, we can do many things that we claim we can't, and especially when God is putting it on your heart, because then you have a choice. Am I going to be obedient to God and do it, or am I going to allow my flesh and the world system to help me fail? Because no weapons formed against us will prosper, absolutely. But at the same time, we can't do things that are outside of the will of God. Granted, we have free will, but remember, there's a difference between free and then will. Amen? So now, going back to the scripture, it says, It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it. So to us we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea that we have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you, and it is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. Okay, praise God. Let me just keep reading. I'm getting excited. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord and walk in his obedience to him and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase in the Lord your God. You will bless. You will increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Amen. Let me keep going. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods, that could be other people, amen, and worship them, secret societies and all this other stuff, amen, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan and enter and possess. And so this is where we're going to focus on. This day, verse 19, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose, there's that word, choice, life, so that you and your children may live long. Isn't it interesting how he says you and your children, not just you, amen, talk about that in a second, and that the Lord may love and that you, sorry, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whew. Amen. That's a mouthful. So now he's telling us that he wants us to live. And he wants our children to live, and that he wants us to be prosperous. But we have to listen to his voice, and we have to hold fast to him. What does that mean? It's simple. It means that you have to seek God, and it's important that you seek him when you're young, so that you understand how to train your ear. We talked about this a couple months ago, how we have to be active listeners. We have to train our ears to hear the voice of God, because he's talking often, but many times we miss him because we're not listening for his voice. We're listening for grandmama's voice. We're listening for uncle's voice. We're listening to Day-Day and Bay-Bay and Susu and Cuckoo. We're not listening to God's voice. We need to train ourselves to hear his voice. Now, I remember, and I've said this many times, I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he talks so loud, because the devil talks loud. I can hear everything. He says, beat her, kick her, slap her, leave her, all kinds of crazy stuff. But then God's voice is be still. What am I supposed to do when I'm still? Oh, and so then I'm hearing these other voices, go, leave, cut, dig, stab. And we hear those voices often enough because that's what we trained that voice to hear. My sister probably get mad at me for saying this, but when we were young, and sometimes she said it when we were on the older side, all men are dirty old men. And I was like, no, baby, not all men are dirty old men. And she said, yep, all of them are dirty old men. And I was like, no, baby, the people that you're around, those are some dirty old men, maybe. But there are some good men out there. And so sometimes we say things because that's all within our perspective. And so you have to change your perspective and put yourself in other places so that you can see that God is balanced. He does not discriminate. There are there's a variety of a lot of stuff. You just got to know and listen and know the voice of God and move in those circles. Now, it is easy because the enemy likes to draw us in because, you know, his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so in doing that, he has to make things sound loud. And so many of us, unfortunately, are not spending enough time with the Lord because we're not reading every day like we should. And we're not in a praise environment where we can praise God daily. And we're not in an environment where we're quiet enough to wait for God to speak. We praying, but we're not waiting to hear what he's saying back. And so many times we miss instructions for us to even have a choice to make. We're so busy trying to meet up with the Joneses and have the bling bling like the Kardashians and want to be on TV. And as my one of my favorite comedians says, everybody wants to be famous, but don't nobody want to do the work. We want God's blessing, but we won't be obedient. We won't do the things that are necessary, and that is to hold fast to him, not the world system, but him, and listen for his voice. And then when you do that, the Lord says you'll have life and give you many years, many years. And so the key is how he's given us many years. How are we going to handle this next one? What are you going to start doing today? Not tomorrow or not when New Year's, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday morning, I'm going to do. What are we going to do? Are we going to make our decision, make out our will? This is what I want to do. I'm going to will myself to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to will myself stop drinking sodas. I'm going to will myself. Or am I going to go to God? Lord, what do I need to do to reach this goal? Help me. I'm going to be quiet enough. I'm going to put myself in a quiet place. You know, people talk about they have prayer closets. That's for a reason. It's not necessary that you have to clean out a closet. But, I mean, amen. Wherever you can find peace, where you'll have no distraction, and you can turn your phone off so you don't hear all the dings and be distracted. But if you can really put yourself in the posture where God can really communicate with you, I guarantee you, most of the things that you really want, at least I'm hoping that you want the things that God wants for you, he will allow you to have those things. So he said he gives you life. And he sent Jesus to give us a fuller life. Amen. On this planet and when we go with him. And so do you think it is God's will for you to be broke down and tore up all the time? No. There is something you are missing that you are not listening to, that God is telling you how to be delivered from wherever you are, if that is your scenario. If you want a better life, if you want to have better things go around you and for your land and your livestock and just everything that you are involved in to be blessed, then you're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to sit down and be quiet. So if we're going to make a New Year's resolution, let it be that I'm going to hear the voice of God. I'm going to train my ear to hear the voice of God. And then I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to use the free will that he has given me to make the right choices. And I choose to listen to his voice and be obedient to what it says. That will cover everything. You won't have to worry about weight. You won't have to worry about the car note. You won't have to worry about finding a husband, finding a wife, having obedient children, because God knows everything that we need. He knows everything that will prosper us into promotion, that will prosper us into the things that we really desire, because where do you think those things come from? Especially if they're good and they will bring him glory. He wants you to have those things, but you got to make a choice. Which voice are you going to listen to? And are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Because even though what you're doing may seem so fun, and I used to think, oh, I missed out because I was too scared to start drinking when I was in high school and college. I was like, no, you know, Jesus could come back, and if I have a drink in my hand, I'm going to go straight to hell, because that's what I believe. And so I missed out. And so I used to always think I missed something. I didn't get to do the club thing, and I don't know the famous drinks, and I didn't get to do all of those things. I didn't get to party and all that because I was too scared. But I kept believing that. And then when I had an opportunity to take me a few junky drinks, it wasn't as fun as I thought that I was, what I was missing. Because at the end of the day, I chose to live for God. And I chose to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And I couldn't function and do the things that I know I was called to do that way. And so them things was called spirits for a reason. And I just, yeah, it takes too long to divorce all that junk that comes in. I'm talking about for me. Amen. Y'all may enjoy your spirit. But amen. I can't function when I'm overwhelmed by too many voices. And so I have to shut it down. And so I have to live a life that is quiet enough that when God speaks, now I ain't saying I hear Him all the time, but I hear Him enough and He makes His presence strong enough for me to understand that He's in the midst of whatever He's in. And so sometimes I'm confused. Because like I said, going into this year, or coming through this year, I should say, last year at this time, I was excited because I knew I would go on to my ministry. I had it all set up. I had my plan. I had it all worked out. And God showed me that you're moving too fast. I'm showing you stuff, but it ain't for today. But I was going to make it because I have wisdom. I have knowledge. I have the power of God and His authority behind me. Well, He showed me real quick. Because I've been sick almost for a full year. In a couple of weeks, it'll be a full year. But nevertheless, I have learned so much in this year because I've been quiet enough and I've been seeking Him enough that now I understand that I was protected the whole time. Thank you, Miss Elaine. That I was protected and He constantly showed me and He's constantly giving me revelation. Thank you, Miss Nina. For giving me the right people to help me to understand that I went through that process. Almost like I said last week, that was part of my sparring. I was in the boxing ring getting ready for my next assignment. And so I believe that I can wait and see what God's going to do because I know that the will that He's placed in my heart and what I want to do, He's going to make it happen because now I'm not moving as Leah. I'm moving in the things of God because I want my land to prosper. I want my children to have children and their children and their children and their children to do the things that God has called them to do up front, not on the end. I want them to experience God and enjoy God in the beginning. And so the only way that I can do that is doing the right choice and listening to His voice and making the right decisions. So I love to talk, and I could continue to keep talking, but I'm out of time. And so as my granny says, baby, you can talk a whole hour. I said, granny, I could talk all day about the good things of God, but I'm not out of talk. I'm just out of time. And so I have to stop here. But my challenge to each of you, being the last Monday of 2021, if you don't cast too much attention on the pandemic and being vaccinated, not being vaccinated and boosters and all that, and really just reflect what was the message God was really trying to tell me this year. And then write it down. Write down the different categories of your life. You know, work, family, home, you know, businesses, you know, adventures, things that you want to do, whatever it is. And then ask yourself, did I see God in any of these decisions? Did I wait for His voice or did I just move? Did I just make the choices? And when I just made my own choices, how did that turn out for me? Now, sometimes because of God's grace and His mercy, it could turn out very well. But you don't know what's around the corner when you're doing things outside of the will of God. And so you've got to be mindful. And even now, even if you're in the midst of a decision that you've made on your own, you can simply ask God, Lord, forgive me. Show me the right way so that I can end up on the beautiful side, the abundant side, the prosperous side that you have for me. And then praise God, He will make it right as rain, as one movie quote says. But I appreciate each of you for listening in for the full year 2021, and I look forward to seeing you in 2022. And we will all be listening to the voice of God and all be doing the things that are necessary to prosper. Now, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song because I know she's my number one and my favorite listener. So she likes every praise belongs to him, and it really does. And then I have a couple people online that like to hear it, but don't quite get to hear all of the song because the broadcast ends online faster than it does for the one that dialed in. So I'm going to try to get a good part of it so it won't cut off. So again, be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful new year, and make sure God is the reason that you are moving forward in everything in your life. This is Leah Killings and Dr. Happy with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so make sure that you always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful, and prosperous new year. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Take it up and give praise.
It's to our God.